Hallelujah. Well, I prayed, so I'm going to skip that. We'll jump right in here. We'll think about that later. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wrote this down. These thoughts kind of came flooding into my thinking as we were worshiping. I heard this: what doth hinder your believing? Is it what you see or hear? He has secured the victory, our prosperity, healing, salvation, and eternal life. So what I kept hearing is, what doth hinder your believing? What's hindering your believing? And what came into my thinking was, you may know of people that have means, you know what I mean? Wealth and security. Are they ever concerned about life? Not really. When people have money, they dream, don't they? They dream, they do things, they just go ahead and do it because they have money. Let me ask this question. What doth hinder your dreaming and believing? What hinders it? Is it what you see? See, they're moved by what they see. What doth hinder your believing? You ever think about that? What doth hinder it? Because if Christ has already won the victory, that was the word, he's already won it. So that means you have unlimited resources at your disposal. Then what doth hinder your believing? That's a word to me, too. What doth hinder your believing? That's a self-examination. Because if all the resources of heaven are at your disposal, why not believe? If you had it, you wouldn't have to believe. You'd already know it. You wouldn't have to believe. So believing means set the bar so high that it's impossible to reach. That means there's no way you could reach it except by and through faith. So what doth hinder our believing? See, when God spoke and said, And think about this. Let me just say this. Your life at this point, my life and your life, is the sum total right now of what you've heard, believed, and spoken. That's your sum life. Your sum of your life at this point is the sum total of what you've heard, believed, and then spoken. And so some of us have believed some things based on what people have spoken to us, or we've believed based on our conditions, and we've spoken it. I can't do this because I'm waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? I'm waiting on the Lord. See, so for me, the Holy Ghost kept saying it. What doth hinder our believing? We need to set it up high. Reach out, way out, and speak it. See? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stretch. This is a season where we need to stretch and reach out for the impossible. Set the bar so high you go, there ain't no way I can get to that. I can't get to, it's not possible. But through Christ, I can do all things through Christ. It may take some time to reach that place. It may take years. But I like what Brother Hagin said, set the bar high. I'd rather set the bar high and reach half of it than set it to nothing and receive all of it. You see? So we need to set that bar real high. Even if we don't achieve all of them, I'm pursuing that. You see. Amen. Amen. I don't know if that helps you, but it sure helps me. Because whenever the Lord says, what doth hinder your faith? I have to sit down and examine me, not everybody else, but I have to examine myself and say, am I confident? See, when the Lord says, what doth hinder your faith? See, sometimes we become so churched, we go, well, nothing. Okay, so let's replace that word faith with confidence. What doth hinder your confidence? Because we could use that word, we can take the word out and put confidence in there and persuasion. What doth hinder your persuasion? Is it something you heard? Is it some circumstance? Is it some roadblock in front of you that got you, I don't know. Is that what hindered it? So we took our eyes off of the Lord, and we've kind of let that affect our confidence. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith, I got to tell you, I like to talk about love and teach on it, but I'll tell you the thing that has helped me the most in my life is faith in God. And the other thing that I remember when I was at Pastor John's church, Assembly of God Church, I remember the first article that I saw, the very first thing, he used to have this little card table in the back of the church, and he used to put out little mini books, and he used to put out copies of the Word of Faith magazine. And I remember the very first article that I saw, I grabbed it. It was an article on words by Brother Hagin. And that thing, I ate it up and fed it up and just chewed on it till that became a real thing to me. And I began to exercise that and speak words of the covenant in my life. Did I see change immediately? No, it took years. But what happened was it had an impact, that the truth of what was written, I said, that is truth. And I'm going to begin to act on that. And so we, as believers, this is foundational. You know, we're talking about foundational things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And I like this. This is in the Knox translation. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, I spoke my mind, says the Scripture, with full confidence. We too speak our minds with full confidence. So when we believe something, we're to speak that with full confidence. So real active faith speaks, you see. The easy-to-read version of the Bible says, the Scriptures say, I believed, so I spoke. Our faith is like that too. We believe, and so we speak. The Living Bible says, we boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe, and therefore I speak. And he's referring to Psalm 116 in that when he says the psalm writer. And the New Living Translation, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had said when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. So faith comes by hearing. When I believe, there should be an action at that point. And the most, the first action would be what we see here in the scripture. I'm going to speak what I believe. And so those things that you know are promised in the Word of God, we're to continually affirm what our covenant says, regardless of the circumstances. And this is what the Holy Ghost is saying here. He's already secured the victory. Keep affirming what the scriptures say. Keep affirming what he has said. Let me read this. This is from a book that I have that I've had for a number of years. It's called The Power of Spoken Faith. It's by Don Gossett, and it was actually co-authored by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. And this was the statement that E.W. Kenyon made. Now, he's just a person that lived many, many years ago. He said, "The thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult." So in the early days of Methodism, they affirmed their faith in what they heard from Mr. Wesley. And faith began to work, and worked mightily. But as they stepped back and they affirmed less and less, faith stopped working for them. So we know from the scriptures, you can go over to Philemon, and of course we know Hebrews, but let's turn over to Philemon Philemon verse 6. And I'd consider this lesson watering. You already know these. This is a watering of the Word of God to the faith that you have at this point. Philemon 6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In the Amplified, it says, "And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory." So what we believe is going to have to be spoken. And continually to receive the promises of God. And sometimes when you read I'm all for, it's scriptural, to have hands laid upon us. But there are sometimes we, in the presence of God, when he's manifested, and what's already promised to us, we can just lift our hands and say, "Father God, I receive the healing power of God into my body." And from that point of receiving, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't have hands laid on us, but sometimes we see continual hands being laid on folks, and I have to say to myself, okay, what is missing? And I'm not saying that that's wrong either. But what I am saying is, are you continually affirming what you've already received? Are you getting up every moment of the day and saying, I thank you, Lord, that the healing power is working, 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 and the same Spirit of Christ that raised him from the dead is working and affecting a cure and a change in my body? Yes. Are we speaking what we believe? And it's no different whether it's that or finances. Or whatever that may be. See? And so we have to affirm what we believe. And I see, and of course, think about this. If you were the devil and you kept you busy with life issues and skirmishes and situations, would you be spending your time dreaming about stepping up and reaching out? Or would you just be consumed with the issues? You see? And sometimes we can get caught up in the little skirmishes and issues of life, and it gets us focused all on that, and we're not reaching out for the things that God wants to accomplish through us and through a church. That's why he'll come in and attack a church, get them bickering amongst themselves, doing things that get it off track. See, because now they're consumed with thinking about that instead of that, you see. And sometimes we have to get that back on track, you see. So we need to affirm. What is that? We're going to affirm those things that we believe. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partaking of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of what? Our profession. So the living faith speaks. It speaks. Of course, we know we've heard all of these things before. Confession does what? It precedes possession. Confession precedes possession. So while we're fighting this good fight of faith, we need to continually release words of faith. Don't give up on this release of words. Amen. That's right. Amen. Turn over for a second to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Well, let's do this. Let's go to Proverbs 18 first. Proverbs 18, and let's look at verse 20 and 21. It says, a man's belly shall be, doesn't say might be, it says shall be, satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the what? Increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, I keep thinking about Pastor Jesse's garden and the fruit, we could say the vegetables that are coming out of that is a byproduct of what? Had to plant some seed, had to water it. There was the constant tilling and tending to. So it wasn't seed in the ground. Because the other thing he didn't tell you all is that, of course, he took the other step. He didn't buy them already as little plants. He put them in little pots in the house, grew them from seeds, and then transplanted them. So there was a whole process done here. Kept the seedlings in the house, kept them, protected and so forth. But he had a mind to do what? Have some cucumbers and tomatoes and collard greens, all these different things he wanted out, but he had a process. And it didn't happen overnight, did it? Same thing here, that the fruit will, your belly is going to be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. So what is the fruit of your mouth? It's the continual, what? Something is going to bubble up out of here, out of the heart, something that you continually meditate on, think about, something you see or hear, and you process that, think about it, and then boop, fruit. And the more you think about something, positive or negative, and you begin to speak it, the scripture says here, your belly's going to be satisfied with that. So that may sound kind of strange that somebody would be satisfied with negative, but I dare say if you're around people that are negative, after a while, they are satisfied with that. You try to get them over to positive, and they're like, no, you don't understand. This is just the way it is. And they're stuck, aren't they? They fed on it so much, they're stuck. So it's the same thing. I'm stuck on God. I'm stuck on His promises, and I'm going to say that. And I'm going to continue to say it. And if I get off track in the Holy Ghost or you remind me, say, no. Remember, we're going over here. We're saying this. You see. And so what does this continue to say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, love what? Death or life, shall eat the fruit thereof. You're going to eat it. Whether you could say, yuck, I don't like this. Well, you're going to eat them. You know, eat your peas. I don't like peas. You're going to eat peas. Whether you like it or not. If you're spitting out peas, you're going to eat it. That's what it says right here. It says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The authority, you could say, right? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now let's jump over to Proverbs 22. And what was the scripture verse? 22. And let's look at verse 17 and 18. I'm going to read this out of a few translations. Says in verse 17, bow down thine ear. Isn't that interesting? Faith comes by hearing. So we're to do what? Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Faith comes by hearing. And what? Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. So that means you got to hear it. You've got to yield to it, and you've got to do it, right? Or speak it. We can say that the same thing. We're going to speak it and do it. Verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them where? Within thee. Isn't that something? They shall withal be fitted where? In thy lips. Let me read this. It helps. Sometimes the King James is I don't say it's not clear, but it's easier to understand sometimes in the more modern translations. The New Living Translation says, listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings deep within yourselves, always ready on your lips. Oh, yes. Keep them within your heart, always ready on your lips. Hey, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Yes. You can't go there. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The doctor says X, Y, Z. No. See, now here's the thing that will trip folks up. Faith calls those things that be not. Faith does not call what is as not. Faith doesn't say, I don't believe that, I don't receive that, I'm not sick. If there's cancer in your body, there's cancer in your body. If you've got a kidney problem, then there's a kidney problem. You don't say, I don't receive that, I don't have a kidney problem. Yes, you do. Faith says, I may have something going on in my kidney, but the healing power is working in my kidneys to correct it. That's faith. Faith doesn't deny the existence of something. Faith says, yeah, it's there, but God's working with the power of God's word to drive it out and change it. Faith doesn't deny the existence of a problem. Faith says, yeah, it's there, but it's changing. And faith believes that and does what? Affirms and speaks it. See, that's what has happened. Folks get into the face of people and they say, yeah, but I see you're broke. No, I ain't broke. What? That's correct. It may look like this, but God is working in my behalf. The Word of God is working in my behalf. You see. That's faith. And we're to do what? Fight the good fight of faith. Now listen to the Amplified. This is the Amplified, Proverbs 22 and verse 17. It says, listen, consent, that means to agree with, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant, oh boy, if you keep them in your mind, believing them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. See, if you're always thinking about, I can't, the obstructions, and you're meditating on it, then your lips won't be accustomed to speaking that. What's in the scriptures? It's going to be accustomed to speaking what you're thinking about and meditating upon. So that's why this is saying here, apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them. Well, that's Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the scriptures day and night. And what happens? They'll make your way a success. You'll make your way a success. So the things that we're confronted with, that's why when we are seeing the issues within the United States or in an area, what did Mother Dupree say? More prayer, more groaning, more travailing, so that our prayers can change the atmosphere of this region and change the atmosphere and the climate in New York State, the state. So that means we can't meditate upon what we see and hear. Doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge that it exists, but we say the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. And when we get together, we're changing. Our faith-filled prayers are changing this town. They're changing this county, and they're changing this state. And we believe that. And we say it. Isn't that true? So that's faith. Faith speaks, and faith acknowledges the what we believe, you see. Faith acknowledges that, speaks that. Hallelujah. So our lips should be accustomed to confessing the Word of God, but we've got to meditate upon it. We've got to think about it, talk about it. Amen. I'm preaching to me too here now. Hallelujah. You know, when you're running up against obstacles and situations, if there's obstacles, then you begin to speak to that obstacle. What did Jesus do? And Jesus said, if you want to have, this is the faith of God. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall do what? Doubt not. But believe that what? The things that you say shall come to pass. You shall have what you say. But you've got to believe what you say and doubt not. That means don't let your confidence be shaken. You've got to continually believe. And this is something for all of us. Because we can get to a place where our faith has been working, we're getting results, but we can sit down. Just like what it said here with the Methodists. I'll read that again. I thought that was significant. The thing that made Methodism so mighty. I mean, we heard all about the revivals in the Methodist church, the tent revivals and so forth. And what made it mighty in its earliest days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. And it said, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. Isn't that something? Because faith is confidence. What does it say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is going to have to be an affirmation, a constant affirming of what we believe. What does Brother Hagin say, or others have shared in their writings? Your faith will never rise above your confession. It'll never be above your confession. Faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and speaking. If I could get into heaven by just believing, there'd be a lot of folks in heaven. But the scripture says that it's what? I'm going to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. So for us to achieve the goals and the places that God has shown us to go, we're going to have to believe it. And we do. We say, oh, yes, Lord, I believe that. But then there has to be that constant affirming, constant confession of what God has spoken to us. And that's why there isn't too many days go by, not many, if a day goes by, that I don't just take the time to say, thank you, Lord, for the Sears building. I thank you, Father. Thank you for it. You said that's the first building we'll take. And you said that you would give us that whole property as a spoil. I don't understand it. I don't have to. If God spoke something, He will make it come to pass. And if I do not stop, now I will say this, I believe that if I stopped and we all stopped, He'd find somebody to pick it up. Because it's His work. And He will bring it to pass. And it's no different here. The Lord is reminding me lately, don't slack off on thanking me for the $80,000 a week. See, sometimes you all think, well, that comes in every week. In the natural, no, it doesn't. But faith calls something that's not. If it came in every week, then why would I have to believe for it? It's no different in your own personal life. If something came in every week, you wouldn't have to believe for it. You'd already have it. So we're going to have to keep steady with those things that God has put in our hearts and not let the issues of life, you know, cool that confidence. Confidence means, what does that mean to you? Confidence means, you know, come what may, I'm going through here. I'm doing this. You are not stopping me. You're not stopping me. I'm going to do that. How many can you relate to something in your life that you just said, I'm doing this. Nothing, no one is going to stop me from doing this. Now, a lot of times we did that as little kids and got in trouble. Nobody, we just, I don't care if mommy or daddy said, I'm going to go do it anyhow. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Now, that was just confidence misapplied in the wrong way. But you get the point. We all have had enough experiences that we know what confidence means. And so that's what the Lord kept reminding me. What doth hinder your faith? What doth hinder your believing? What doth hinder your confidence? What's hindering it? Is it something that you've heard or saw? Is that what it is? And I have to say, well, you know, that's a personal reflection thing. You have to examine yourself. But if God spoke something to you, then you need to stick with it. Amen. Don't get off it. Amen. Don't move off it. Because it shall surely come to pass. Amen. That doesn't even have to be. You have a word from the Lord in Mark 11:23. If you doubt not, he said, it shall come to pass if you believe the things that you say. So it's not just believing, it's believing what you say. So what I believed, I'm going to speak. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. He's good, he's good, he's good. So let's look at this one scripture as we close. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Think about this. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be. You see. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we're going to have to profess what? A good confession. That's part of the good fight of faith. You're going to have to continue, persevere with what? A good profession. Hallelujah. So you can see here, just in this, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, said that part of this good fight is a good confession. Right? Hallelujah. This is a winning fight. And a winning fight requires a winning confession. Hallelujah. A winning fight, we've already won through Christ. That requires a winning confession or profession. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not willing to lay down and not have the things. There's things that I know all of us have said, well, you know, maybe God didn't mean that. What doth hinder our faith when we say that? I've done that. For 20 years, you know, when the Lord spoke to me as a young person and said, I will do these things in you. I heard the voice of the Lord. You know, we all hear, you know, the word of the Lord came unto me. Or I heard the word of the Lord. I heard him. This wasn't a still small voice. This was an audible voice. It was so loud I thought somebody was yelling in my room. And it unnerved me. Because I thought, okay. And so, when God says by his Spirit, I will do this. Well, let's see. 5 years went by, 10 years went by, 15 years went by, 20 years went by. And I began to think, maybe he didn't mean that. I'm just being honest. I thought, well, maybe he meant this. No, he didn't. He meant exactly what he said. I learned a good lesson in that. I mean, it was real and tangible. But after 20-some years, one can think, maybe he didn't mean that. Just maybe. Maybe he meant this. No, he didn't. And I learned a lesson out of that, that when God speaks, he meant exactly, just exactly what he said. Period. If he said, I'm going to do such and such in your life, and he reveals that to you, that's just exactly what he meant. And don't get off it. I don't care if it's 20 years. You don't get off it. Period. And that's what he's looking for. I learned a great lesson in that. Because sometimes time, you know, now that happened to be something that God was working out. He doesn't tell you all of the particulars. He just says, I'm going to do this. And first of all, you have to remember when God, when the Holy Ghost spoke that to me, the process here in the ministry was, first you had to become a deacon, and you had to be married. So I thought, well, that leaves me out. And then from that, the succession most of the time was, well, you went from a deacon to an elder to a minister. And I thought, well, that just leaves me out. So how does that going to work? So you can begin to question what God said to you. It's stupid. And it's dumb. Because God meant just exactly what he said. Amen. He didn't explain to me, well, Pastor Clinton's going to go home and everything's going to change. He didn't say that. He just said, I'm going to do this. I will do this. And so stop trying to figure out what God, when he gives you something, you just accept it by faith. And you begin to thank God. Say, thank you, Father. I thank you for that. I don't understand all the details, but I'm just going to thank you for it. And keep your hands to doing what he assigned you to do, which is what I was doing. I was doing what he assigned me to do at that time. Now he's assigned me to do something else. But at that time, you be diligent. Be a support. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But faith, living faith. Don't let life hinder what you believe. Amen. Keep the switch of faith. What do I mean by that? You've heard that so often. Keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? Keep your mouth and lips speaking. Yes. Say what you believe. And most, and the thing is, when we say, what I believe, I speak, what am I supposed to believe? What the will of God is.
Yes.
Not just what I concocted up. You believe what God has revealed, what's promised to you. That's what you can have faith for. Well, I have this right here. I can believe this. And I speak it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, for stirring our hearts. Father, you desire to do much through this congregation, and we shall. And we shall take the land personally and corporately. And we thank you, Father, that no demon, no devil, no obstacle will hinder your plan and will here. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Thank you for stirring our hearts and our minds and bringing us into remembrance again. And Father, we repent before you. We humble our hearts before you that if we've sat down and not continued with confidence, we say, we ask for forgiveness. And Father, we pick it up and we step out and we speak those things that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.